السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
Hi Yusuf, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, يا شيخنا.
Can we go on with our class?
نعم.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. Our last class in the class to explain the Quran is about al-isti'aza, and that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, he says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you want to begin to read the Quran, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, ask for refuge and protection from Allah, مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, against the الشَّيْطَان, the one, the enemy of Allah, Iblis, who is far away from Allah's mercy, who is far away from Haqq and Khayr, الرَّجِيمِ, the one to whom we direct our courses. We explained this isti'aza in some details in the last class. Today, inshallah, we'll be starting with Surah Al-Fatiha. We'll be starting with Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha has other names apart from Al-Fatiha. I think we should start from its names. Asma'uha. The names of Surah Al-Fatiha are more than Al-Fatiha. But we know that in an authentic hadith, the hadith of Abu Huraira and others amongst the companions, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told us, he says, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرع بفاتحة الكتاب. The one who has not read Al-Fatiha or Fatihatul Kitab, لا صلاة له. So in that hadith, the one who does not recite Al-Fatiha does not have salah. So in that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to Surah Al-Fatiha as what? Al-Fatiha. He called it Fatihatul Kitab, because that is the chapter with which the Quran is started. The first chapter in the Quran is Surah Al-Fatiha. And it occurs in that statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He called it Fatihatul Kitab. So Al-Fatiha means Fatihatul Kitab, the beginning of the book, the first surah, the first chapter to read in the book, Al-Quran. So the first name of Surah Al-Fatiha is what? Al-Fatiha. It has other names. Amongst that is Ummul Quran. Surah Al-Fatiha is also called Ummul Quran. The ulama say the reason why it is called Ummul Quran, لِأَنَّهَا تَشْتَمِلُ عَلَى مُجْمَلِ مَعَانِ الْقُرْآنِ. سميت بأم القرآن لأنها تشتمل على مجمل معنى القرآن. The reason why it is called أم القرآن is that Surah Al-Fatiha تشتمل على مجمل معنى القرآن. Surah Al-Fatiha contains the main message, like a summary of the message of the Quran. So it is called أم القرآن. Why? Because it contains the crux, the foundation of the message of the Quran in terms of the issues of Tawheed. Surah Al-Fatiha has Tawheed. It has Tawheed al-Rububiyyah in it. Of course, in it we would say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. It has Tawheed al-Asma al-Sifat. Because we definitely say Allah. And that is the asl of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has Tawheed al-Sifat wal-Asma'a or Tawheed al-Asma'i wal-Sifat, just like it also has what? Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And at the middle of it, it has Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Iyaka na'budu. Yani, la na'budu illa Iyaka. So that's why he made the takdim of Iyaka. Inshallah, we are coming back to that. Iyaka na'budu. This is the asul of Tawheed. We will not worship anyone except you. And that is Tawheedul Ibadah. Or Tawheedul Allah Uluhiyya, as it is more widely pronounced. So you see, in this Surah Al-Fatiha, you see Tawheed inside it. You see Ahkam inside it. Because those who are punished are those who fail in the Ahkam, in the rulings of Allah. It also has Ahkam from the sense that if we look at Maliki Yawmiddin, or Maliki Yawmiddin, because Yawmiddin, Ad-Din, Huna Al-Jaza, it is Maliku Yawmil Jaza, the owner of the day of rewards. What are we rewarded for? The halal that you preserved and the haram that you abstained from. This is what brings about jaza. So we can say Surah Al-Fatiha also has issues of ahkam wal jaza. It has also the issues of reward, because it mentions that there is a day that people will be rewarded for their deeds. And it mentions how people are divided into different classes as a reward for their actions. الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ سَيْهِدِينَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. Those that Allah is pleased with. It is talking about the reward for their goodness. Is that the end pleasure of Allah. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِ. Those people that Allah is angry with. The reward for their deed is that they gained the anger of Allah. So as far as the Christians are concerned, وَلَضَّالِينَ, in the end of that verse, those are the people who were ignorant regarding their religion and they earned misguidance. So this surah also has to do with al-jaza. It has to do with tawheed. It has to do with ahkam. It has to do with jaza. It also has to do with akhbarul umam al-sabiqa. In Surah Al-Fatiha, it tells us about the past nations. Who are they? Al-maghdub alayhim. Who are they? An'amta alayhim. Al-lazina an'am Allahu alayhim. Who are they? Ad-dallun. The Quran tells us in Surah Al-Fatiha about all these kinds of people. So it has ahkam, it has tawheed, it has akhbarul umam al-sabiqa. It has very many other things inside it. This is the reason why it is referred to as what? Ummul Quran. Surah Al-Fatiha is also referred to as Ummul Kitab. The ulama say, لأن أم الشيء ابتداؤه وأصله. لأن أم الشيء ابتداؤه. Because the of a matter is the beginning of that matter. أم الشيء ابتداؤه وأصله. And the foundation of it. So from that sense, Surah Al-Fatiha is also referred to as أم الكتاب. The Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha also, the Quran itself also refers to Surah Al-Fatiha as As-Sab'u Al-Mathani. As-Sab'u Al-Mathani. As-Sab'u, the seven Al-Mathani repeated verses. This is the meaning of As-Sab'u Al-Mathani. I think in Surah Al-Nahl, Allah said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ. We gave you seven things. The seven regarding Surah Al-Fatiha are the seven verses of that surah. So they are the seven most repeated verses. You see, we read them in every rak'ah of Salah. This is the first or the second thing that we read. The first thing we read in every surah, in every rak'ah of Salah, we must recite Surah Al-Fatiha. So they are seven. As-Sab'u Al-Mathani, the seven of repeated verses, is the Surah Al-Fatiha. They make up Surah Al-Fatiha. Ulama say, لِأَنَّهَا تُثَنَّى فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَآيَاتُهَا سَبْعَ بِاتِّفَاقِ الْأَئِمَّةِ. So Surah Al-Fatiha is called As-Sab'u Al-Mathani. لِمَاذَا لِأَنَّهَا تُثَنَّى فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Because it is repeatedly read in Salah. وَآيَتُهَا سَبْعَ. And its verses are seven. One of the scholars, on a very lighter note, he said, and I find it very interesting, it's from amongst the Salaf, He said it is called As-Sab'ul Masani because it has things inside it that are repeated. He says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. It's a repetition of As-Sifatul Rahmah. It is a repetition of Allah's attribute of being merciful absolutely. So Ar-Rahman is talking about Allah Zur-Rahmah or Al-Wasi'ah. It is talking about Allah, the one who possesses absolute vast mercy. It's talking about Ar-Rahim, someone who is also vastly merciful, this time distinctly and specially for believers. But the point between the two of them is that he's talking about Allah who is merciful. And he repeated that attribute from two different angles. So there's a repetition. There's a repetition in that surah. He said also, if you go to that surah, you see Ghayr two times. Sirat al-lazina an'amta alayh. Ghayr al-madhubi alayhim wal-adhali. You see Ghayr twice. Sirat comes twice. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat. See, that is where al-masani comes in Surah al-Fatiha, because you find its words, they are repeated. It says alayhim, so it's repeated. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim. This is alayhim one. غير المغضوب عليهم is repeated. So he said it is the verse in which many of his words, the chapter in which many of his words are repeated. But the correct interpretation of As-Sab'ul Masani, the seven repeatedly read surahs, is that Surah Al-Fatiha is read there repeatedly. And it's a gift of Allah to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي. We give you seven surahs that are of the things that you'll be repeating always and always. So these are the names of Surah Al-Fatiha. The last three names, Ummul Quran, Ummul Kitab, and As-Sab'ul Masani, they occur in a hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, in which he said that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Alhamdulillah Ummul Quran. That is Alhamdulillah is what Ummul Quran. That is Surah Al-Fatiha is what? It is Ummul Quran, like saying the mother of the Quran. But we'd explain what that means. Wa Ummul Kitab. He says Alhamdulillah Ummul Quran wa Ummul Kitab. وَالسَّبْعُ الْمَثَانِي. This hadith occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen is what? Ummul Quran. Wa what? Ummul Kitab. Wa what? وَالسَّبْعُ الْمَثَانِي. So you can see that the Quran has, the surahs of the Quran have their names coming from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. This is one lesson from here. When we call it Al-Fatiha or Fatiha to Kitab, we read the hadith. Now that we said that it is Ummul Quran, Ummul Kitab, and As-Sab'ul Masani, we mentioned the evidence for that. And the evidence for that is what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Alhamdulillah, Ummul Quran, Ummul Kitab, was-Sab'ul Masani. That Alhamdulillah is like the way we all call it when we're younger than this. Surah Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet said that surah is what Ummul Kitab, is what Ummul Quran, is what As-Sab'ul Masani. So these are from the names of Surah Al-Fatiha. Another name of Surah Al-Fatiha is Ar-Ruqyah. Ar-Ruqyah, Surah Ar-Ruqyah, the Surah of Ruqyah. The Ruqyah that you know, exorcism, is it? Exorcism. The Surah of, you read it to seek cure from Allah. Someone is ill, he reads Surah Al-Fatiha. Someone is ill before you read Surah Al-Fatiha. We remember where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that statement in the hadith of Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri. When the companions passed by a village where they were not entertained, and later the head of that village was stung by a scorpion, and then he was all at the time of death, he was, you know, being carried around. And they asked, can we find one amongst you who knows Ar-Ruqya amongst the companions? And it was Abu Sa'id himself, Al-Khudri, as is in other reports of that hadith, that went to read Surah Al-Fatiha to the feet of the man. And the poisons from that thing or the bite came out of the feet of this companion. I came out of the feet of that person, that head of that community, by the reading of Surah Al-Fatiha by that companion. So they got the gift of a ram. When they got back, they wanted to know whether it was lawful for them to have obtained the gift. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Sa'id, after he asked him, what did you read to that leg? He said, I read Surah Al-Fatiha. And then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ أَنَّهَا رُقْيَةٌ وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ. How did you know? What is it that made you know that أَنَّهَا, that Surah Al-Fatiha is what? Ruqya is ruqya. So because of that, some of the ulama say, like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, like Sheikh Muhammad Jamil Zino, they say this is evidence that this surah is also referred to as what? Surah al-Ruqya, because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ أَنَّهَا رُقْيَةٌ. What is it that has told you that Surah al-Fatiha is ruqya? And Surah al-Fatiha, dear brothers, is ruqya. Apart from this that we have read in the hadith, and we believe with all our minds, I have also seen a situation with my eyes when Surah al-Fatiha was recited upon a snake bite and Allah expelled the venom from the feet on the spot immediately. I have seen it with my eyes happen. Someone was stung. It was in the night. He couldn't go anywhere. And Surah al-Fatiha was recited on the feet of the woman that was already getting swollen. And the venom came out of the feet and she felt relieved. She never went to any other hospital till as I speak today, as far as that snake bite is concerned. So Surah al-Fatiha is ruqya. We are not saying don't go to the hospital. We're in a generation of deliberate misconception. We are not saying, oh, don't go to the hospital. Some of you can say, oh, what you are saying now is that when someone has a snake bite, you should not go to the hospital. That is not what we have said. What we have said is that Surah al-Fatiha is ruqya. It is a means by which, when it is read, Allah grants the supplication and heals the person regarding whom it is read, whether you go to hospital or you don't go to the hospital. Allahu A'lam. So these are the issues about Surah al-Fatiha in terms of its name. But there's a fa'idah here that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen mentioned just at the beginning, after he also started to explain the names of Surah al-Fatiha. He said there is a fa'ida, rahimahullah, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen in his tafsir of Surah al-Fatiha. He said, وَقَدْ ابْتَدَعَ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ الْيَوْمَ قَدْ ابْتَدَعَ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ الْيَوْمَ فِي هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ بِدْعَةً وَقَدْ ابْتَدَعَ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ الْيَوْمَ فِي هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ بِدْعَةً. Some of the people have started an innovation. They have made an innovation regarding this surah. These days, people have started an innovation regarding Surah al-Fatiha. What is that innovation? فَصَارُوا يَخْتِمُونَ بِهَا الدُّعَى. They begin to end their dua with Surah al-Fatiha. He went on and then he came back and said, وَهَذَا غَلَطٌ. Said, this is an error. تَجِدْهُ مَثَلًا إِذَا دَعَى ثُمَّ دَعَى قَالَ لِمَنْ حَوْلَهُ الْفَاتِحَة. You find the individual, إِذَا دَعَى, he will pray, ثُمَّ دَعَى, he will beg Allah, ask Allah for so many things, ثُمَّ قَالَ لِمَنْ حَوْلَهُ, he will now say to the people who are around him, الْفَاتِحَة, يعني إِقْرَأُوا الْفَاتِحَة. He intends by his saying الْفَاتِحَة, he intends to command the people who are near him to recite Surah al-Fatiha. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said this is an error and it's an innovation. And we know that it is very common in our communities. Someone will be making supplications, and at the end of the supplications, he will command everybody, recite Surah al-Fatiha. And by extension also, he could say recite Surah al-Ikhlas. He could say recite Surah al-Falaq. He could say recite Surah Inna A'atainaka, Surah al-Kawthar. He can say all of these. The Sheikh says, after giving these explanations, rahimahullah, he says these things are from the issues of innovations. Why? لأن الإبادات مبناها على التوقيف والاتباع. لأن الإبادات, because issues of worship, such as what we read in our dua, مبناها على التوقيف. It is based on not to do it. Don't do it. It is wrong, because some of the people can say, give me evidence that it is wrong to recite Surah al-Fatiha after my dua. the evidence that it is wrong is that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad. There's no evidence for it because it is ibadah. Mabnaha ala tawqif. It is ibadah is based on something you must hold back. Well, it is ibadah, and only follow if there is evidence. So let us take a note of this. Many of the people are used to reciting Al-Fatiha at the end of a supplication. They say Al-Fatiha and then everybody recites Al-Fatiha. This is not appropriate. Ayatuha, the number of verses in Surah Al-Fatiha, they are seven. That's also clear from the Quran, because Quran is Surah Al-Fatiha is what? As-Sab'ul Masani, the seven of repeated verses. It means its verses are seven in number. Bittifakil Ummah. There is no difference about how many are the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha. They are seven without any difference from any quarters. The number of verses of Surah Al-Fatiha are how many? Seven. Now the issue is, which verse is the first verse? Is it Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim that is the first verse? Or that Bismillahir Rahman or Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen is the first verse? What is the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha? If Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is the first verse, we must have clear cut evidence. And if Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen is the first verse, there must be clear cut evidence. Why? Because Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعرف فصل الصورة لا يعرف فصل الصورة حتى ينزل عليه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not know the end and the beginning of the surah until بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم is read. It's sent down to him. Meaning that those surahs have بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم indicating the end of a preceding surah and the beginning of a new surah. So when Surah Al-Fatiha came down, and that happened in Mecca, because Surah Al-Fatiha is Makkiya, Surah Al-Fatiha came down in Mecca, about the most widely held opinion regarding that is that Surah Al-Fatiha is what? Makkiya. So when it is Makkiya, it has come with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim to show the end of the surah that was revealed before Fatiha. So because of that, at the beginning you see of every surah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim comes. Why? That is what indicated to the Prophet that the surah that was coming had ended. The only surah that does not have that is Al-Anfal, between Al-Anfal and Surah Al-Tawbah. Otherwise, all other surahs have it. So is the Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim at the beginning we see in Fatiha, is it here because the surah that came before it ended and then a basmala was mentioned to make us understand that we are starting a new surah, such that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen would be verse number one in Surah Al-Fatiha, or that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim itself is a verse in itself inside Surah Al-Fatiha. This second opinion, Allahu Alam, appears stronger amongst the ulama. And it is the position of many of the companions, including Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ummu Salama, radiallahu anha, and the rest of them. And it is based on this hadith that was reported by Abu Huraira from the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا قَرَأْتُمْ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ إِذَا قَرَأْتُمْ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ When you read the surah, Alhamdulillah, فَقْرَأُوا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ You should recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innaha Ummul Quran. That surah is Ummul Quran. Wa Ummul Kitab. It is also called Ummul Kitab. Wa Sab'ul Masani. It is also called As Sab'ul Masani. Wa Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Ihdaha. And Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is what? Ihdaha. One of its verses. And Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is one of its verses. This, in another riwayah, it says, Wa Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Ihdahunna. And Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is one of the verses in Suratu Al-Fatiha, which is also what Ummul Kitab, which is also what Ummul Quran, which is also what As-Sab'ul Mathani. This clear-cut hadith, this hadith was reported by Al-Imam Dawakutni and also Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi, and it is graded Sahih by Al-Imam Muhammad Nasir Din Al-Albani in Silsilat Al-Ahadith Al-Sahiha. Before him, ulama like Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, and that's his view also, and many others amongst the ulama have graded that hadith to be Sahih, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he talked about that we should recite Surah Al-Fatiha, he said, wa bismillahir rahmanir rahim ihdaha, it's clear cut. And bismillahir rahmanir rahim is one of it. Oh, ihdahunna, yani ihda al-ayat. It's one of the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha. There's a second hadith from Umm Salama radiallahu anha that shows that Surah Al-Fatiha has started with bismillahir rahmanir rahim as a verse in itself. And that hadith occurs in Sahih ibn Khuzaima. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قرأ في الصلاة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم recited بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فعدها آية. He counted it as an ayah. He counted بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم as an ayah. And this is the opinion of many جماعة من الصحابة. Many. A number, a group of people amongst the companions, والتابعين, and the students of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The point here is that Surah Al-Fatiha has seven verses. And the first of those verses is what? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. There's a second opinion, like we said. And that's the opinion of those who believe that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim occurs in Al-Fatiha as it occurs in other surahs by revelation, to show that the surah that was revealed before it had stopped, and now that a new surah is being started. This hadith that we read to us from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, and the hadith is authentic. They have this view that yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim only occurs at the beginning like that, not because it is part and parcel of Surah Al-Fatiha. And amongst those who have that opinion is Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah and others amongst the ulama. They say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, of course, in Sahih Muslim, that qasamtu bayni wa bayna abdi, qasamtu salata bayni wa bayna abdi nisfayn. I have divided the salah into two halves between myself and my servant. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, when my servant says الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, Allah says, my servant praises me and all that. He said, this verse is a clear cut. This hadith is evidence that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not a verse in Surah Al-Fatiha. But the response, Allahu Alam, of the ulama from the other side is that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was not mentioned because when you listen to the Imam in Salah, you don't hear him say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So it is talking about what you hear the Imam say. It is not talking about the actual involvement of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Surah Al-Fatiha. The first hadith of Abu Huraira is clear when it said that wa Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim ihdaha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is one of it. This is clear. But the second hadith that Allah has divided the salah between himself and his slave, Alhamdulillah is the beginning. It's not a clear cut evidence. But the verse of the first hadith we read, the hadith of Abu Huraira, when it said that wa bismillahi rahman rahim ihdaha aw ihdahunna, is a clear cut evidence mantuqan from the full apparent meaning of that hadith, that bismillahi rahman rahim is the first verse in Surah Al-Fatiha. So the first thing in Surah Al-Fatiha is what? Bismillahi rahman rahim. If you observe salah, read that Bismillahi rahman rahim silently. I'm mentioning this so that we don't ask us during question time. Recite your Bismillahi rahman rahim silently. That is the sunnah about reciting Bismillahi rahman rahim during salah that is read aloud. Recite your Bismillahi rahman rahim silently in the way that you recite your isti'adha. So you recite isti'adha and then Bismillahi rahman rahim. Then you read aloud, Alhamdulillah. that occurs in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik and others amongst the companions in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr and Siddiq and Umar in some riwayat and Uthman, when they lead the salah, the only thing you hear is what? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. But the fourth verse in Surah Al-Fatiha is what? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So what does Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, what does it mean? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, what does it mean? We need to break it down for its meaning to be very, very clear to us. When you say Bismillah, like one of the scholars said, Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, he says, when you say Bismillah, it is ikhtisar, it is a summary that you have made. If you say Bismillah, you have just made a summary. What should you have said? You should say, Abda'u Bismillah. I start Bismillah in the name of Allah. I start Bismillah in the name of Allah. Because if you say Bismillah just like that, the ba'un is a preposition that we refer to as harful jari. And ism is a noun. Ismun is a noun. So when it's the ba'u occurs before it and you say bismi, you have a preposition and the noun that it controls, meaning that you now have al-jar wal-majrur. Bismi. Once you say bismi, you have al-jar wal-majrur. Something near that is like saying at school, or at the market, something like this. So can this is not a full sentence. You'll be asking at the market, what are the markets? So this is a ma'mul according to the scholars of Lugha. The amil itself is the fail. The amil itself is the fail. So when you say Abda'u Bismillah, I will start in the name of Allah. Aha, it makes a sense. Just like you say, I saw you at school. So that verb saw will give a meaning to at school. Just like Akra'u Bismillah, we give a meaning to Bismillah. But this verb, Akra'u, I want to read. I want to read Bismillah in the name of Allah. It makes a full sense. Akra'u Bismillah. Atlu Bismillah. And there's something like it in the Quran. Ikra Bismi Rabbika. It's exactly the same thing. But what has happened with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is that verb was omitted. So you say Bismillah. Why was it omitted? Because that expression will be used for so many things. It is the same expression we use when we want to drink water. The same expression we use when we want to sit down. The same expression we use when we want to go out of our houses. The same expression we use when we want to come into the toilet. The same expression we use when we want to receive something. The same expression we use when we want to come into the masjid. The same expression we use when we want to go out of the masjid. So it will be cumbersome to list all these verbs before Bismillah. So it is there, Bismillah. The action you want to perform is omitted, and it will be known by that action at the time you want to perform that action. So if you want to sit down and you say Bismillah, the meaning is that Ajlisu Bismillah. If you want to stand up and you say Bismillah, it means Akumu Bismillah. If you want to hand over money to someone and you say Bismillah, you say O'ti Bismillah. You want to make a presentation, you say want to say Bismillah, you want to do anything. You want to come into the toilet and you are saying Bismillah, you are saying Bismillah Adkul, or Adkulu Bismillah. So it means that's why the scholars say that when you say Bismillah, there is Jarun wal Majurur Muta'allikum bi Mahzuf. There is a preposition and a noun that is connected to a verb that is omitted. So Bismillah is, you find Bismi, that is Jar Majrur Muta'allikum bi Fi'lin Mahzuf. You find a preposition and it's now, the both of them are connected to a verb. That verb is omitted. So you find Bismillah and then you can do what you want to do. Now, Ismullah, Bismillah, Ism and Allah occur in what the scholars refer to as Al-Idaf. Ism is Mudaf and Allah is Mudaf Ilayhi. So you say Bismillah, I begin in the name. The name of who? The name of Allah. Bismillah. And because ism is mufrad, the jamu of ism is asma. The jamu of ism is what? Asma. When a word occurs in a singular form like this, ism in its mufrad form, and it is connected in an idafa like this, you say ismullahi, what it means is that all his name. So bear it in mind. When you say Bismillah, you say Bismillah to start an action. What you are saying is that you are starting that action asking for support with all the names of Allah. This is the meaning of Bismillah. So Bismillah, you want to drive the car. That is Bismillah, Asuk. I ask support with the names of Allah, with all the names of Allah, because al-mufrad al-mudaf ismullahi here tufidul umum. It makes us understand that all the names of Allah is what you seek help with and support with for the action that you are talking about. So the same thing, you want to receive money from somebody. You are receiving that money relying upon help and support with all the names of Allah. So you see, it's a big thing we do. In Al-Isti'adha, we seek refuge. We seek for protection. In Basmala, we are seeking for what? Support. We are seeking for blessings. We are seeking for mercy in that action that Man is one of the names of Allah. Many amongst the ulama, especially Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al Uthaymeen, you see him repeating in almost all his works on issues of Tawheed that Ar-Rahman is a personal name of Allah too, just like Allah. Ar-Rahman is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like what? Ar-Rahman. And what it means is that Dhu Rahmatin Wasi'a. It means Allah Zu Rahmatin Wasi'a. Allah, the one who has vast mercy. The mercy of Allah is vast. The mercy of Allah, in whom you seek help, in whom you seek support, in whom you seek blessings upon that action you are performing. He is Ar-Rahman. His mercy is vast. So you hope in that mercy to gain his blessings in that action that you are performing. So when you say Bismillah, when you want to start eating, you are asking for Allah's mercy, Allah's blessings, Allah's support, Allah's aid, employing all of his name in doing that over the food that you want to eat. Subhanallah, it's a great mercy for us. So when we say Bismillahir Rahman, we ask support, you ask blessings and barakat, Bismillah, with all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is this Allah? He is Ar-Rahman. He is the one whose mercy is what? So vast. Rahman, fa'lan, vast mercy, lin mubalaga. Allah's mercy is indefinitely vast. Both the Muslim, the kafir, the angel, everybody, the angels, every creature enjoy this vast mercy of Allah. Whether that person obeys Allah or not, he enjoys the rahmah of Allah. Even the animals enjoy the rahmah of Allah. Look at how merciful they will be to their kids, to their little ones. Every creature of Allah enjoys this mercy. Ar-Rahman. So it is the mercy of Ar-Rahman that we seek. He is also Ar-Rahim, the one who is also vastly merciful, but will bring this mercy only to the believers. He told us in the Quran, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. As far as the believers are concerned, they enjoy the Rahmaniyya of Allah, and then he is Ar-Rahim regarding them. So they enjoy two aspects of mercy, from Allah's general mercy to every human being, to every creature, to every animal, to everything that he has created. His general mercy of Allah, this is from his what? Ar-Rahman. But the special mercy that is only for those who believe. This is meant for who? The believers. And that has to do with his name, what? Ar-Rahim. So when we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this is what we mean. We say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So we say Bismillah Aqra'u, or Bismillahi Asjudu, or Bismillahi Usalli, and so on. And that Allah whose blessings we seek upon that action we are performing, he is what? Ar-Rahman, and he is what? Ar-Rahim. So you can see how much mercy Allah wants for us, starting his book with this tremendously beneficial expression of his mercy and his readiness to support us in everything that we do. So that's why from the Sunnah of Islam is that we start what we do with what? Bismillah. That is At-Tasmiyah. We start with Bismillah. We ask help. We ask assistance. We ask aid. We ask barakat. In the name of Allah subhanahu, in all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of which are the fact that Allah is what? Ar-Rahman, and he is what? Ar-Rahim. I hope that this is clear regarding Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Some of the scholars have taken hours to explain Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, but I think what we have mentioned so far will be of benefit. So the first verse in Surah Al-Fatiha is what? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And its explanation is that we have heard. The next verse is Allah saying that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. The second verse of Surah Al-Fatiha is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Alhamd has the definite article Al. So let's pick it from Hamd. Hamdun, ulama says is As-Sana'u. Bil kalam, hamdun is what? Sana'un bil kalam al jameel. Sana'un bil kama bil kalam al jameel. Sana'un bi al kalam al jameel. Hamdun means to praise. When you praise someone, bil kalam al jameel, with beautiful words. Allah wajhi tabjeel, by way of honoring that person, by way of glorifying that person, what ta'zim, and exalting the person. When you do that, you have directed hamd to him. When you give beautiful expressions of praise by way of exalting the person, by way of glorifying the person, honoring him, showing that he's a person of esteem, ala wajhi tabjili wa ta'zim, by way of honoring him and exalting him. When you do this, whether akana fi muqabalati ni'mati, whether you are saying that because that person showed you a favor, someone gave you a favor, you are now praising him and saying beautiful things about him, or that it is not fi muqabalati ni'ma, it is not that he did anything to you, he's just a person who is mahmud. He has attributes that are beautiful, that are of esteem, that are nice. He is nice and he does things that are nice. And that is the reason why you are praising him and glorifying him and exalting him. You are not exalting him because he has shown you favor. Now, if you exalt him because he has shown you favor, you praise him because he has shown you favor, that is called ashukur. That's what we call thankfulness, gratitude. He showed you favor, you direct some beautiful words of praise and appreciation towards him. This is called a shukr. This is called a shukr. But if it were that the praise you direct to him is not well connected to whether he had done something good to you or not, he himself, as an individual, he has praiseworthy traits that makes him become praised. This one is called what? Hamd. So hamd involves shukr. Shukr comes under hamd. Shukr comes under hamd. So in this sense, hamd is more expanse than shukr, in the sense that the praise and glorification and exaltation for hamd it is not restricted to whether that person has done you favor or not. So that's why when we say Alhamdu, what we are saying is that all the praises, all the glorifications, all the adorations, all the gratitude. And that's why you find some translators translating Alhamdulillah to mean that all thanks belong to Allah. This is just one of the things. Alhamdu is more expanse than saying that it is worth thanks. It is more than thanks, because thanks, gratitude comes when a person shows you favor. But in this case, whether it is he shows you favor or not, he himself is praiseworthy. So Hamdu involves when he shows you favor or when he does not show you favor, and he himself is praiseworthy. This is what we say in Alhamdu. So in Alhamdu, we are showing gratitude to Allah. And in Alhamdu, we are also praising him for his beautiful names and attributes. So when we say Alhamdu, we are praising Allah and we are also showing gratitude to Allah. So that's why when we receive something that pleases us, what do we say? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah in that sense would mean that we are showing gratitude for a favor. And whether we got a favor or not, like the messenger said, alayhi salatu salam, even when we got something that is pleasing to us, what do we still say? Alhamdulillah. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is himself praiseworthy of beautiful names and lofty attributes. I hope that this is clear. Sometimes someone will say, why is it that when something that we do not like happens to us, we still say Alhamdulillah? The Alhamdulillah you say when something displeasing happens is Alhamdulillah of exaltation, because Allah is exalted and mighty. You are exalting him because he is mighty. But when it's you receive something that is good, both of them come in between. You are showing gratitude and you are exalting him for his beautiful names and his attributes. This is what Hamdu means. So when you say Alhamdu, you are saying that all these beautiful names, all these beautiful attributes, all these beautiful exalted attributes and all of these, Alhamdu, all of these, all of them, Lillah. Lillah, ulama say this lam al-jari. They say it means two things. That it can be lamul istihqaq, the lam that shows that it is deservingly for him. So it's like saying Alhamdulillah, all the praises, all the gratitude, all the appreciation, all the exaltation, all the glorification, Lillah, they are only deservingly Allah. Allah alone deserves it. So it can mean lamul istihqaq, deserving it. And it could mean lamul ikhtisas. It is specially for him alone. They are both correct. They are both correct. Alhamdulillah. So all the praises belong to Allah. Alhamdulillah. All the praises are what? Specially for him alone. Belonging to him. And they are specially for him. This is the meaning of Alhamdulillah. So when we read in the Salah, we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We know what we are talking about. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We know what Alhamdulillah means. We are saying that all praises, all glorification, all adoration, they are Allah alone deserves it. This is what we mean. Allah alone deserves all the praises, all the exaltation, all the appreciation, all the gratitude. Absolutely, they belong to Allah alone. And he alone deserves that he directed all the praises. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Allah, he says he is Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbi. One of the names of Allah is Ar-Rabb. And this is the evidence for it. One of the names of Allah is what? Ar-Rabb. And this is the evidence for it. Ar-Rabbu is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the evidence for it. He calls himself Rabb. Rabb. Linguistically, Rabb is generally employed to refer to three things. Number one, Al-Malik, someone who owns a thing. So you can call the owner of a house Rabbud Dar or Rabbul Bayt, the owner of the house. Babo Nile, the owner, he is the controller of the house. Rabbul Bayt, he owns the house, he builds the house. It is his house, Rabbul Bayt. So Arabs use the word Rabb to refer to the owner of something. They also mean al-muslih. Rabbu could also mean what? Al-muslih, the one who perfects something and rectifies it. He perfects it and does what? He rectifies it. Likewise, Rabbu can also mean as-sayyidu, the overall head, al-muta', who must be obeyed, the one in charge of the commands and authority in the area. So Rabbu could mean the owner. Rabbu could mean the one who rectifies and does it very well. Rabbu could mean the one who has control, full control over what we refer to. So Rabbu, if we say Allah is Rabb, what we mean is what Allah told us in the Quran. The Quran itself tells us the meaning of Rabb. We remember the story of Musa and Harun when they came to Fir'aun. What did he say to them? Fir'aun said, "Fama Rabbul Alam." Fama Rabbukuma. Before that, we are coming back to that. Fama Rabbul Alamin is in Surah Shura. This verse occurs in Surah Taha. Fama Rabbukuma ya Musa. Fir'aun asks, "Ma Rabbukuma? Who is that your Lord? Rabbukuma, the two Lord, the two of you. Who is your Lord?" What did he say? He says, "Alladhi aata kulla shay'in khalqahu thumma hada." So the meaning of Ar-Rabb is "Alladhi aata kulla shay'in khalqahu thumma hada." The meaning of Rabb is "Alladhi aata kulla shay'in khalqahu." The one who has given the instinct and nature to everything. Thumma hada. And he has guided everything on how to live its life. The one who made a bird and guided the bird how to live, how to eat, what to drink, what not to eat, what not to eat. Different birds with different things to eat, with the different abilities to search for what to eat. These are birds. When you come to insects, when you come to lions, when you come to other animals, when you come to fishes, when you come to reptiles, when it comes to different kinds of things. A'ata kulla shay'in khalqahu. Allah gave them the way they live their lives. Thumma hada, and he guided them. You will be behaving like this. This is how you will behave. This is how you find. This is what you can eat. This is how to protect yourself. Even if that means you have to change your color to look like the leaves that you are hiding on. You like the chameleon. This is how you do it. The one who gave all these animals all these abilities, including we human beings. Ata kulla shay'in khalqahu. He gave us our features. He gave us our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our nostrils, our tongues, our nerves, our organs, everything in us. So this is Rabbuna subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created all things and he guided them on what to do. Al-alamun. What does it mean? Alam is the singular. Al-alamun is al-khalqu kulluhu. The entirety of the creatures come under this. The world of the creatures, the world of animals, stars, the angels, the jinns. Every one of us come under this. Everything. That's why one of the scholars say that kullu shay'in, everything, kullu ma siwallah, is part of al-alamun. So Allah is the Lord of every other thing. So that's why in books of translation you see they say that Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. They translate Rabbil Alameen to mean the Lord of all that exists. All that exists is Al-Alamun. Everything. Al-Khalqu Kulluhum is Alamun. When Fir'aun was asking Musa alayhi salam, "Fama Rabbul Alameen?" Musa told him, say, "Rabbu Samawati wal Ardi wa ma baynahuma." So as-samawatu wal-ard wa ma bayn, the heavens and the earth and everything that they contain is what? Al-alamin. So alhamdulillah, all praises belong and to Allah alone. Which Allah is that? Rabbul alamin, the creator, the manager, the controller, the owner of all everything that exists. This is the meaning of alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. I think we should stop here, inshallah. We can ask a few questions and continue the class tomorrow morning, bismillah. Aba Yusuf.
Naam, jazakumullahu khairan ya Sheikh Anas.
Ameen wa antum fa
jazakumullahu. Qayyadallahu wajhakum.
Amin wa iyyakum.
The only question I have with me says, please, what is the recommended duha we can make to end our prayers to someone?
You say Amin. When you pray, say Amin. You say it in both ways. Either Amin with the Hamza not having a mad, or Amin when the Hamza has a mad. When the Alif has a mad, Amin or Amin. They are both allowed. Say Amin. But from the Messenger alayhi salatu salam, there are ahadith. If we go to Jila'ul Afham by Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, he mentioning Salatu ala Nabi. We can recite Salatu ala Nabi to end your supplications. Recite it at the beginning and at the end of your supplication. Salatu ala Nabi. Salatu al-Ibrahimiyya, those that are supported in the Sunnah. You can recite that at the end of your Salah. Don't say Fatiha and all that. Don't say that. As the Sheikh pointed to us, Rahimahullah. I hope that is clear by Yusuf.
This one says, is it true that Allah's name Allah comes from the verb Wallahu?
There are a lot of explanations regarding ishtiqaq, the etymology of that word. Some of the scholars say it is from al-ilah. We have ilah. Ilah is a deity. When it comes to the definite article al, it becomes al-ilah. And that is what is Allah. That is the one that to whom worship is directed. So they say this is the meaning of the word Allah. So many words, basic verbal usages have been mentioned regarding it. While some of the scholars say, no, it is Alam, just Allah is like that. It did not originate from anything. Allah is Allah. It's not picked from any basic word. Allahu Alam. But all that Allahu means, and I don't know any variance, I think it's sufficient for me to say that amongst the scholars that Allahu means the one to whom worship should be directed to alone. The one to whom the worship should be directed to alone and no other. Allah. So, and all other names of Allah describe this Allah. That's why if you go to Surah Al-Baqarah, when he says Allahu, then he begins to say what? La ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. La ilaha illa huwa. Huwa is who? Allah. Al-hayyu is who? Allah. Al-qayyum is who? Allah. La ta'akhudhuhu is damir. Who? He is referring to who? Allah. Sinatun wa la nawm. Lahu ma fi sama. Lahu is referring to who? Allah. So it's the personal name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of whether it is the word itself linguistically has an origin or not. Allahu alam.
This one says, is it right to start the Adhan with Istihada and Basmala as some people do?
No, it is not right. Many of the scholars have mentioned that when we want to make Adhan, it is not right for us to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Don't forget under Al-Istihada, we told us that we should only say Istihada when we want to recite the Quran, and the Adhan is not Quran, so don't bring Istiaza. Likewise, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We have not been taught to start the Adhan by saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So just go straight when you want to make the Adhan to the Takbirat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, four times, and then you continue. Depending on the number of adhkars, expressions you want to make in that Adhan. Don't make Istiaza and Al-Basmala at the beginning of Adhan. It's an innovation and it's not correct.
This one says, can we say Bismillah for wudu?
Yes, we should say Bismillah for wudu. In fact, the hadith is authentic in Musnad of Imam Ahmad from the hadith of Abu Huraira that he says, La salata liman la wudu alahu. The one who has no wudu has no salah. Wala wudu aliman lam yusalli ismallah. And the one who has not mentioned Bismillah does not have wudu. So we should say Bismillah when we start the wudu because of that hadith.
How many days am I expected to pray when I travel to a place I want to start living, like going to school? I think he meant to ask about kosher.
Yeah, once you have made up your mind to start living there, once you arrive there, you start observing your salah full. You start observing your salah full. There are no kosher for you again. You observe it full.
Okay, please, how would someone observe Sunan Rawatib of Salatul Isha when the Imam don't wait for enough time before the start of Salatul Tarawih?
You can observe it after the Salatul Tarawih itself. You can observe it after the Tarawih itself. That's also established in the Sunnah. Please let me quickly make a clarification about, is it lawful for women to take a tablet to halt their menstruation so that they could witness the last 10 days of Ramadan? That question was asked yesterday, and I mentioned to us the fatwa of Sheikh Bumbaz. That's also the fatwa of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. They say that it is lawful, it is allowed. And that's the position of the Jumhur. From amongst them also, Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Many of the scholars say that it is allowed. But others amongst the scholars say that it is not allowed. Like Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. They say that it is not allowed. In the time of the Messenger, there are drugs. There are things they could take. There's an asar in Musannaf al-Razak that Abdullah ibn Umar gave a suggestion of a tree, that fruit, the juice from a tree, and that juice can halt menstruation. It means that it was known at that time to medicines that could halt menstruation. But the Messenger did not encourage that the people should take it. When he was performing Hajj and he met Aisha radiallahu anha, having started her menstruation, at the time she was supposed to be in Ihram when they came into Mecca, he was asking her, alayhi salatu wasalam, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And she said, radiallahu anha, that she's menstruating. And the Messenger said, هَذَا شَيْءٌ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ بَنَاتِ Adam. This is something that Allah has preordained on the daughters of Adam. He did not tell her to take a medicine to stop it. This is the argument from these scholars, like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. But nevertheless, those who have this view too, they say that if she does so, if she takes it, her fasts are valid. But that if she's doing something that is not clearly established in the Sharia, while others say that if she does it, there is no blame. I will advise us, Allahu Alam, that we should avoid doing this. Allah has given you the opportunity not to fast, not to observe. How about the salah? Not to observe salah. So can we say a woman should be taking those drugs in every month so that she'll be observing salah? And salah is stronger than fasting as far as the Sharia is concerned. So should we say also that instead of her having 10 days of menstruation, so should she stop it so that she'll be able to observe in salah? No, we'll be bringing something cumbersome into the religion, and the religion is simple. So for the last 10 days, if you are not observing your fast and you are not observing salah, you can do all other things. Read Quran, redo azkar, do all other things. These ones are lawful without any kind of a hesitation. I think this is where we should set our minds and not begin to bring burdens to us. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husaymeen said that he was told by a doctor that those medicines that halt menstruation for a particular time, that they could be harmful to the human body. I think this is where our brothers in medicine and sisters will be useful to us, that those medicines that halt menstruation, they could be harmful. And the deen has prohibited us from bringing ourselves into harm. So my advice, Allahu Alam, is that sisters, yes, even though you say, the scholars say that the fasting is valid, a better thing for you to do is not to fast and observe salah. Then you fast them back after Ramadan. Of course, salah is giving. It is fasting that you pay back after Ramadan. This is honorable position that the Sharia has placed us. Allahu Alam. I just felt that it is necessary to shed some more light on the issue of Abu Yusuf. We can stop here for tomorrow morning, inshallah.
Yes, Sheikh Anand. The person that asked about the compulsory while going to school is asking that he has already prayed for 3 days. How does he correct his error?
He should just go on with the rest of the salah fully. Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.